This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 1, where we left off last time. Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to again invite all of you to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, every Thursday or some Thursday between 12 noon and 2 p.m. My twin friend Scott Merson meets me here, and we pray for the sick or whatever ails you. We also accept live telephone call request for prayer during that time. Come also on Sunday, 5 p.m., with this anointed line-by-line word, and then prayer follows. And come Wednesday night, 6 p.m., for anointed word and warrior prayer afterward. And now Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm entitling this chapter, Contented and Yet in Prison. We're going to find that Paul has written this entire book of Ephesians, and he was in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've noticed, we've gone through the first earth age in chapter 1, chosen for before the foundation of the earth, the elect, and the whosoever willers. And then last week, the precious blood of Jesus and the building of the many-membered body of Christ, God's own sanctuary. And Paul had not said one word about being in prison. And yet he's writing this in prison, and he's very content. Do you remember the Last Supper? Jesus said, I have desired to have this meal with you, his disciples. And he said, I pray that my joy might be in you, that your joy might be full. And yet when he said that, he was so excited and happy to be with his disciples. And he went out and was nailed to a cruel cross and died on a cross for our sins. Yet for the joy set before him, he went to the cross. How can Paul in prison, listen to the tenor of this tonight, listen to the mood. You're not going to feel sorry for me. Anybody else would have said, hey, church in Ephesians, get me out of here. Go get some money. Bribe somebody. I'm in jail. Help, help, help. Most Christians would. He hasn't even mentioned it. How can Paul be content and be in prison? The same way anybody can be in your prison of trouble if you know why you are here and you're in God's perfect will. Jesus was in God's perfect will, for he came to die to pay our sin debt. Paul is in God's perfect will. If he had written a poor me letter, you and I wouldn't be studying it tonight. So see, he was in God's perfect will. So here's the deal. Whatever your prison is, if you know Ephesians chapter 1, that there was an earth age before this, that that's when Satan rebelled, Isaiah 14, and you were there in your spiritual body, Ecclesiastes 12, 6, and 7, and 8, and that most everybody betrayed God, a little group followed God and stayed true to God. God smashed it, sent everybody in, whosoever willows. That's why most everybody has free choice. They betrayed. Then you get another chance. Jesus comes into the second earth age, pays the sin debt with you. The elect are here to teach. If every one of you, the sound of my voice, will finally realize why you're here, you're either here for an elect and you're to get this word of God out as far as you can, pronounce the word, or you're here, whosoever willow, to get saved and then help get the word out. There's nothing else. You did not come in here to have a house and a of a career and fun. And what we're going to do Friday night, what we're going to do Tuesday night, and how we're going to do this, and what we're going on our vacation, what we're going to wear, all the nonsense. You didn't come here to tweet and text and all that kind of mess. You've got one purpose, each one of you. And if you ever realize there was a great long line of you before you came here, you were in eternity with God. It's a great long line. When sin entered, then you had to come in. And so you're either, as I say, an elect or a free will. Any way at all is to serve God. Now, this is just a dot. This is not about your family and foremost. I want you to get it right. You're not here for fun. You're set on assignment. And if you do it right, You got a long eternal line this way. This is just the dot. This has helped me in all of the horrors. I mean, you wouldn't be able to make a movie about the horrors that I've gone through, persecuted for righteousness' sake. None of you has ever heard my story. You don't even know. And yet, always, I know why I'm here. I know why I'm here. I know why I'm here. And I stay focused on that. Because, see, there is joy. When you're in God's perfect will, there is a peace that passes understanding. You can be in a palace and be discontent if you're not in God's will. You can be in prison and be content when you are in God's perfect will. God has a perfect will for you. Have you found it?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles.
So he suddenly mentions it. Oh, by the way, says Paul, I'm writing this from prison. He's already done that fantastic, the first two chapters there. I mean, that should go be aired all over the world with the three earth and ages and why we're here and Satan's rebellion and why he put us here in all the garden and everything. And he says, by the way, and he says, it's almost like he says, wow, I've been honored so that I could tell Gentiles would be anyone who was not of the seed of Abraham, so I could teach and preach and bring you into the kingdom. Wow, what a privilege. See, he's not thinking about, poor me, I'm in prison. Because he knows he's not here about himself. See, you got to die to yourself. That's your problem. The reason you're unhappy is because you only love yourself. Get out, let him in, get in his will. You'll have troubles. The devil will try to kill you, but you'll be okay. You'll sail through. You're going to make it because you are fulfilling the perfect will of God in your life.
Amen.
Verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God.
The word dispensation here in the original Greek has two meanings. Number one, it means time, like we taught in chapter 1, the first earth age when Satan rebelled and brought sin into the equation, which God, that's why he brought in the second one, to give us a chance to be saved, sending Jesus in. The other meaning is stewardship. Now, Paul is saying, God has revealed something to me and given me the stewardship to share it with you. Now, he's going to tell us what it is.
Which is given me to you, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me.
Okay, by revelation. He said, in other words, God given me a steward. What Paul did when he got saved, Jesus knocked him off his horse on the road to Damascus. Paul went into the desert and spent 3 years with God. No cell phones, no tweeting, no telephones. God, God, God. Some of you could put that cell phone in the garage and shut the door and sit with God. You might be able to hear. You don't even pray. Some of you say hello to the cell phone before you say hello to God. Do you know that's having another God? I'm going to have to caution you on this because it really is. It hurts God's feeling. You don't turn on the TV first. Everything should be God first. So Paul went into the desert and God gave him a revelation of the first earth age. Paul was the only one in the Christian era now that had that. Jeremiah had it, and Job had it, and others. But they didn't mention it too much, but it is in the Old Testament. But now it was time. God wanted you to know. See, if you ever get it that you're here because of that, then you'll get busy and do what you came into, and then that will be your joy. See, the joy and contentment is being God's will. The reason you have to run here and there and try to get some more joy. Please say something good to me. Let's go have some fun. Let's go here. Let's do that. Let's get this. Let's buy this. Let's do that. Let's go out. Let's have somebody else. That's because you're not in God's will. When you're in God's will, you just sit there being in God's will and doing good. And you'll feel God approving of you. And it's just wonderful. However, God did bless Paul. God says that two is better than one. God loves two kindred spirits who are twins. Pastor Arnold Murray popped out like a cuckoo clock. He's in heaven now, but I have a gift of visions and dreams. And he said, when God's got two, you're twins, and that really makes God happy. So God likes to work in two because you can encourage each other. So after Peter, the great apostle Peter, heard that Paul was teaching that there was an earth age before this and documented it with scripture, Peter believed, and Peter wrote it in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, 7, and 8. He says, the world that then was, the world that now is, the world to come. World means age. So there were two of them. So Paul says, I have been given this gift, this revelation knowledge of the ages, and he's forming the church in Ephesus. The first thing after they got saved, he taught them, all of you Christians, you need to know there was the earth age before this, and that's when Satan rebelled, and that's why you're here, because you are there was just a small group fought for God. Most everybody betrayed God. That's why you're here. See, once you know that, then you don't feel like you've been dropped off at Hollywood and Vine without a spiritual babysitter. You understand your purpose and you get with it, and you don't spend your whole life trying to find Mr. Right, Ms. Right, have my four or no more, a house, a land, a vacation spot, a new car. It doesn't matter anymore. Just, you know, take care of business, do work hard, whatever you do, and of course you have to supply, but God would take care of that. If you would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things you need to survive will be given to you, living proof. So Paul says, I must be a good steward. So whenever God gives you a spiritual gift, you're to be a good steward of that. We're to be good stewards of our time, our talents, our money, tithe, and all of the good things, the talents, the time. We're to be good stewards of our social life, of the kind of friends we have, of what we do, of our time. Watch your time. Watch your time. Watch your time. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he gives us some of the gifts. I've taught those and named those a couple of weeks ago. Whatever God gives you is not yours to keep. You hear me say it all the time. See, you get truth in here. You get truth beyond what you've ever heard. It's in the Bible. You should have been hearing it. But you're not supposed to keep it. You're to be a steward of ship. What do you do? Paul's a good steward, so he's going to teach it to them. Every truth you hear me say, you should go grab somebody and tell them. I used to have a person in my congregation. They would do that. They'd say, this is the great truth from the Bible that Sherry taught us tonight. God taught it through Sherry. And they said, okay, hello, I'm calling you up, my friend. I'm going to tell you some truth. In other words, they tried. It's a sin not to be a good steward of the gifts, covers that God gives you.
Of the mystery of I wrote before in few words.
Okay, he said, I'm a steward of the mystery. Remember, the mystery of God is that there was the first earth age before this. There are three earth and heaven ages. We're in the second one now. After sin is gone, we'll be in the third one. That will be heaven on earth. He wrote that in Romans chapter 16. So he says, go back and read Romans chapter 16, and I talked about it then. And this will help you. Remember, he's writing to Ephesus, and he's already written them. Chapter 1, verse 4, chosen before the foundation of the earth. Foundation, Satan's overthrow, earth, world, first earth age.
Verse 4, thereby, when you read, you will understand my knowledge of the mystery.
When you go and read what I wrote to you before in Romans 16, this will help you understand it, he says.
Christ, verse 5. In other ages was not made known unto the sons of man.
What he means, he's not talking about, there was only one age before this one. He's talking about in other times. The truth is, Moses was so busy trying to get those stubborn rebellion people to get into the promised land, he didn't have time to tell them that. He would have. They never got past getting saved, if they even got saved. But Jeremiah did know about it. Jeremiah chapter 1, God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and it was then that I chose you to be a prophet to the nations. Ha! Yeah. And then how about Job in chapter 38? God said to Job, Job, do you remember where you were when the morning stars sang together and the children of God shouted and danced together? Stars, children of God, minus the flesh. But really, no one had laid it out so clearly as God did to Paul. And that Ephesians chapter 1, every Christian needs that. If you didn't get it, go back and get it, WMIEFM.com, on demand. If you're going to be a Christian, understand God's plan, you need to know that. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. And God has common sense. God makes good sense.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
So Paul was very blessed that Peter accepted that. 2 Peter 3, even verse 15, Peter admires Paul. And really, Paul was the first one. And then when Paul told it to Peter, Peter agreed. So we had twins. Two is better than one.
Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
You can can hear in Paul's writing that he's not feeling sorry for himself at all. He's in prison writing this. That the Gentiles, those of you who betrayed him there, the Gentiles of anyone who betrayed him, whosoever will is, that you can get saved. That I can tell you this and tell you about Jesus, and you can come in, and now you can partake of the kingdom of God, and you can be a member of the many-membered body of Christ, holy, acceptable, adopted, grafted in. Now Abraham's your father. Isn't that great, says Paul in prison? Amen. I mean, how do you act in your persecutions? Now, persecution is not trouble like trouble of the world. We all have trouble of the world. We have trouble with people. We have trouble with money and jobs and aggravation and stuff, bodies. I'm talking about if you're persecuted because you are pronouncing the word of God or helping it get pronounced. See, there's a difference there. I'm going to tell you, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jump and dance for joy. Great is your reward in heaven.
Amen. Verse 7, therefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God.
The gift there is charis. That would be the gifts of Holy Spirit. Paul writes of those in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've taught those. And he's going to tell us some more of those in Ephesians later on. And he's talking about now also the wisdom and revelation of the fact that there was an earth age before this when sin began, which brought us into this. Now, he was made a minister. Paul was a member of the temple, the synagogue, the Sanhedrin, in good standing. And he loved the one true God. He really did. He was a Hebrew scholar. But he thought this Jesus was some upstart, and he didn't know he was the Messiah, so he had some papers in his pocket on the road to Damascus to arrest the Christians, because he really loved the one true God. He just didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. And the resurrected Jesus met Paul on the road, and boy, Paul said, yes, Lord. And it was right then that Jesus told Paul, you're a chosen vessel. And he gave him a threefold ministry, Trumpet of Truth, Sherry Medlock. We have this threefold ministry, so does Scott. Number one, take this word, this truth, to the very elect, the house of Israel, the elect. See, the different levels. We had the elect. We taught that in chapter 1 in here. And then number 2, to the Gentiles, whosoever will may come. We love all people, and that's all races. That means red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Muslims, you could be saved. ISIS, you could be saved. A Hindu, you could be saved. Whosoever will may come. And then the third is to the kings and queens of the ethnos. In each one of the beautiful races, Genesis 1:6, he created mankind, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. He said, that's beautiful. That's very good. And then he has his elect within the races. And so Paul was called to teach them. So see, that's why we love all the races. I've been a missionary to so many of the beautiful African Americans here in this Brevard County. And I would watch the kings and queens of the ethnos, two of them in here now. And I've watched that. And I'm saying, you're getting this. And you're going to be able to share this in the millennium. So the threefold ministry.
Given unto me by the effectual working of his power.
The effectual working of his power. Effectual in Greek means unceasing. See, right now, every one of you who's swallowing the word of God, not putting it in your head and going and putting it in a paper plate on a shelf and turning on your TV and forgetting about it and live like you always live, even though it's not bad. Those of you who digest this word, live this word, swim this word, talk this word, sing this word, everything in your life is directed by this word. What happens, that word is working in you. It's like a vitamin. It's actually working in you, just like you had some food while ago, okay, that food is working away in there. It's going, it's going to move it around in your body. So the blood moves your food there and gives you the nutrients. The Holy Spirit takes the word that is in you and circulates it in your soul and in your spirit and causes you to live a life of faith, hallelujah, and a useful life, a fruit-producing life. Amen. Talk about the produce place, that should be you.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints.
Paul calls himself the least of all saints because he felt bad because he had persecuted Christians. Paul would write in other of his epistles, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but esteem others more highly than yourself. Jesus says to humble yourselves, and God will exalt you in due time. Paul says to himself, I know how to be abased, and I know how to be uplifted. Here's what I've learned in the ministry. I used to have a woman that she would list all the things I did, and that's quite a bit. So she named them all. She said, I do every one of those, which of course she did not, because they were things that I would do that were personally for God had called me. But I didn't say anything. I said, that is so great. I said, I tell you what, I'm going to go do something else, and then you can do that too. In other words, I said, that's great. You keep it up. My point is, let somebody else blow your horn. God sees in secret. He'll reward you openly. Don't feel that you've got to be honored in the church and somebody's got the call on every time you do something good. I have just learned, I forget about myself. I just brag. I brag all the time. I say, boy, you've got the anointing there. You've got the anointing. You've got your hands of learning how to heal. Oh, you're doing so good. The anointing's growing on you. Look for their gifts. Don't flatter them. Look for those gifts and bring those out and encourage them. Don't worry about yourself. God's going to take care of that. Reward day is going to be a good day if you've been serving him. He sees in secret, and he'll reward you openly. Esteem others more highly than yourself. Our churches have self-esteem classes for children. No! You esteem God. The self-esteem is what got us in this trouble. Satan said, self, I will be God. See, self, we're so self-centered in the church, we've even taken selfies.
Was this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?
Paul is getting more and more happy. See, he's not thinking about this prison. This is not Gitmo. The water and the sewage are on the floor. It's cold and dank in there. He's got a candle trying to write his letters in there. But he knows he's in God's will. And he knows that this is just a moment in time. He knows he's going to stand before the Lord. And he's going to be able to tell all these people who've come into the fold the unsearchable riches of God. He's so joyful. Why? Because he's in God's perfect will. See, it's not your situation. It's not your trouble. It's an inside job. Get right with God. Be in his will. Focus on that, and you'll still be okay. You can have peace in the chaos. Now look at Daniel in the lion's den. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's Paul in prison. And we're just teaching away his book today. Isn't that beautiful tonight?
Nine, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
The word fellowship there, now that means the first earth age, the dispensation, the time. So you see, it was his mandate to make all men. Did it say just a few people to know about that? Well, why in the world does not the church know about this? Everybody in the church, all denominations, they love Paul and they love Peter. And he writes about this all the time, and yet there's a spirit of stupor, slumber, that nobody's, if you love him that much, study what he said. Wake up, church. That's the first thing he told Ephesians. And he just mentions it in Romans and Corinthians. It's all over the place.
Which from the beginning of the world would have been hid in God.
The mystery's been hidden. See, it's been hidden. Many of you never heard it before listening on the radio. This is not a new doctrine. It's right in there. That's exactly, it's from Genesis 1 right on through. And Jesus said in Matthew 13, I have come to teach you things hidden before the foundation of the earth. And Jesus was speaking of the mystery of God, the sacred secret that we were with God in a spiritual body, in perfect paradise, on this planet, in a spiritual body, and that Satan rebelled, brought sin into the equation. That was gone. Now we have this second earth age. We got a body. Jesus took a body, paid the sin debt. So the elect are here to be the light bearers, and everybody else is here to get saved and then be the light bearers.
Who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now even the principalities in heavenly places.
Why do you need to know that Satan rebelled in the first earth age? To know that the prince of this air and his demonic principalities like to mingle in heavenly places. Satan rebelled in the first heaven and earth age and took over the throne temporarily. He's coming back at the sixth trump. We're in the fifth trump now in the sky, Revelation 12. Michael's going to kick him out, just like Jesus is coming. But it's the devil with his Jesus costume on, the Antichrist, and everybody's going to call him God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, everybody. everybody listen to me. The devil's spirit, that old Leviathan, that serpent of Job, that old crocodile who's got all the teeth, he has mixed in the heavenly places of the government. God ordains the government. Leviathan, the serpent, the devil has mixed in our schools and, worst of all, mixed in our churches. In the government of the United States, we've been praying here for 8 years. Some of the people that you did not know, and some of you voted for them, they are now being absolutely, their flesh is no longer flesh. The demonic forces that they are being made visible. Some of us can see those things beyond the veil. You can actually see that they are demons. And so that was the devil. The government of the United States has taken from the Constitution of the United States of America. So we need to fight into that at the Supreme Court. In the schools, our children are being taught what's wrong. They're not getting the history of the United States of America. They're being taught to call good evil and evil good. And so we have suicide in the schools. And of course, what can I say in the church? The word has been stolen and we've got all kind of fables there. And most of you are scratching your head, I never knew this. Duh. This has been in there since God created everything. Lord have mercy. Amen. So see, you have to fight these devils. Every one of you has power, even over Leviathan, because Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. We've been fighting it here in prayer. You fight it with power, Holy Spirit prayer, not dead prayer, not pretty prayer, fire, fire, fire prayer, in the name of Jesus, the word of God, and you fly in your spirit to these places and you pour out the spirit of God and demolish these demons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Might be known by the church of the manifold wisdom of God. 11, according to the eternal purpose.
God's eternal purpose was to have three earth and heaven ages. He didn't mean to, but since the first one, Satan, rebelled, he destroyed that one. God brought in the second one. This is a time of grace for everybody to get saved. But this has got a lot of baggage. So he's going to clean this one up after the great white throne judgment. And he's going to restore heaven on earth. Ezekiel 44 on to the end explains that so beautifully. Revelation does too. Bring the heaven in Jerusalem down here. That's God's purpose. God's purpose is being completed. It doesn't look so, but God's still in charge.
Put this purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you can go straight to the Father's throne.
13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not, but my tribulations for you, which is your glory.
Paul says, now don't you get disturbed because Paul is in prison. He said, don't worry about it. He said, Paul had written Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He didn't just write it, he lived it. You read this Bible, do you live it? The next time you got a prison mess on you, do you really believe it's going to turn for your good? I have stood back and watched that. It's like Joseph of many colors says, the enemy meant it for evil, God will turn it for good. Paul believed that. So, you know, you could take a little prison.
14, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 15.
That's so beautiful. Right there with the sewage flowing and the water and that little things, moving things around. Paul just gets excited about God. He's not concerned about himself. Oh, Father, I give thanks that I get to tell the story. I give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ making a way that whosoever will may come.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth.
Now, if you ever think you don't have a family, I'm not talking about blood family. Sometimes blood family is not too close to you. You love them, but you might not have anything in common. We all know about that. But the true family are those who are kindred spirits in Jesus Christ. And we've got a whole parcel of them in heaven, and a lot of them are coming with Jesus. And then we've got some of us here, and we're going to be all back together. We've got a big family. We're the many-membered body of Christ. We're the family of God. Amen. Just remember that. Paul reminds himself of that while he's there in that prison.
It's made 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
Now, who is this inner man? Inside of each one of you is an inner man. You know who it is? It's the real you. It's your spirit body. You are a spirit. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. And your soul is yourself, your will, your emotions. You are right now spirit and soul. Spirit and soul is always together. We're in the first earth age here. They were in a spiritual body. Now you're living in a flesh pot. And you're punching that little cell phone most of the time. I know. I digress. Okay, there you are. But what happens when Jesus comes, 1 Corinthians 15:52? Everybody's going to be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we're going to step out of the flesh suit into your spiritual body. Zechariah chapter 14 gives a graphic example. Your eye sockets will fall out. It won't hurt. You've got a perfect, eternal, beautiful spiritual body inside of you. Now, often you hear me pray. Many of you have heard me pray for you. I ask Father in Jesus' name that this person may be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. See, I can pray for your outer, and I do, for it to get healed, or it to get its little job, or to get its little car, or whatever it needs. But the real best praying I do for all of you is I pray for that inner man. Because when the inner man starts to rise up, you're going to get up. Because the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Proverbs, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. And so I pray, how does your inner man get lifted up? Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So your inner man is in there in your belly, okay? That's your spirit body, ready to pop out there and be great and beautiful. Never sick, never die, eternal if you're saved. Beautiful, beautiful, perfect. Ever young, ever beautiful. And so it's in there. And when the Holy Spirit of fire, Jesus says, I have a baptism of fire, ignites with your spirit, out of your belly shows you as a living water. The water is the power, the dynamite, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, and it comes out of your arms like a conduit onto your hands, and demons flee. Amen. And Christians wake up.
Yes.
And the word goes forth, and people are healed, and dead people come back alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. May you all be quickened and strengthened with might by your inner man. And we'll begin right there next time. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand God's great mystery. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend, anointed man of God, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing really good, Miss Sherry. We'll jump right into the questions.
Thank you.
Our first question, David Walter of Melbourne, Florida asks, when the Bible refers to Jesus as the Passover lamb, is this a metaphor?
Yes, it is a metaphor, because in Exodus, God told the children of Israel to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, and kill the Passover. Take the blood, sprinkle it on the doorpost in the form of a cross, tav in the Hebrew. And he says, when death sees the blood, death will pass over you. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist say. He's a type of that Passover lamb. Yes, a metaphor. By the way, we welcome David Walters into the family of God. He was saved and baptized, and now is a many-membered body of Christ. Welcome, David.
Amen. Welcome, David. Our next question, if we believe, are we to pick up serpents, like it says?
If we believe. Mark 16 says, these signs follow them that believe. You lay hands on the sick, they recover, and if you take off a serpent, it won't bite you. No, that's a metaphor, too. Jesus says in Luke 10:19, I give you power over serpents and scorpions. Serpents are devil. What it means is, if the devil gets that close to you so that you could, if he were a serpent, you could pick him up. If he gets that close to you, right beside you, and he does, he likes to come into the church in the pulpit,
amen,
that you still have power over him, that he cannot touch you. You do have power over the Leviathan serpent crocodile spirit that has taken over our government. People say, no, you don't. Jesus told us how to do that. And we have that anointing. We do that. No, I wouldn't pick up a snake, because a snake has not read the Bible.
Yeah. I always say, if your church isn't casting out demons, then it's full of them.
That's right.
Well, you know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Well, it's time now for Scott's stuff.
The Lord wants us to get to a point in our faith that we are moving supernaturally through His Word and our surroundings. For the things that are going to be happening in the world around the body of Christ are going to be mentally and physically consuming for all those who are not prepared to move in such a supernatural and spiritual way, the same way it consumed the people in the days of Moses. Now is a time of preparation and sanctification.
That is so beautiful, Scott. Thank you very, very much. That is so beautiful. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but first, let's pray the prayer of salvation for any of you who are not saved. Pray after me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash all my sins away.
Wash all my sins away.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Teach me your truth.
Teach me your truth.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, my announcer's about to give you my telephone number. So when you hear him give you my telephone number, feel free to leave that message and tell me you were saved, and I will pray for you. Now, let's pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask by the Holy Spirit, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. I ask that the Son of Righteousness will send the laser beams into the brain. Let brain tumors dissolve, blood clots stop. Let all things that are blocking the circulation, the way the brain operates move, let the brain be healed. Heal blind eyes see, cataracts be gone, macular disease be gone, glaucoma be gone. Let the eyes see. Let deaf ears hear, left and right ears hear. Let lame legs walk, diabetes go. Let the nerve endings be healed. From the top of your head to the soles of your backbone, spine, central nervous system, hearts and lungs be healed in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, also, if you were healed, then you want to call me on the telephone and let me know that. Now, don't forget, every Thursday, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I meet here at my school and walk in and we'll pray for you, or call in and we'll pray for you. Wednesdays, 6 p.m., Sundays, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying, we love you. We thank you for listening. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Take 2 steps forward, 3 steps back, on a journey of 1,000 miles. And you cry and you pray, but you know at this pace you never will arrive. Well, I know in your heart you believed from the start God had a purpose he knit you together for. But life has pulled at the seams and you're unraveling. You can't hold it together anymore. But God will, he will finish what he started. No thread will be left unwoven. Nothing will be left undone. Every plan and every purpose that he has will be accomplished. And it may feel like 40 long days in a hard driving rain, or 40 years in the dry desert sand. But when he's finished, we'll see a beautiful tapestry and know that nothing has been wasted in the end. Oh, and God will, he will finish what he started.
Stretched hands. hands and you hold me in your arms again. I need no explanation of what I mean. I just need confirmation. Well, only you could understand.
It's crazy. flies back to him. He is the one, he is Jesus, he is Jesus, and he is our King, he is our love, he is our God, he's come to bring us back to him. He is the one, he is Jesus, he is Jesus.
Listening to WMIE, Brevard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Taking my heart. of you.